Welcome back to the Overtime Radio Show. We have been off the air for too long, and we are back now every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We bring it to you here this on a Wednesday right here on the MinnesotaHockeyMag.com. This will be your home for this radio show each and every week. We plan to have the updates as we always have. Joining us today once again is Tim Kolehmainen, our great contributor to the program. Tim, a very frigid Wednesday morning greeting to you.
Oh, I can't feel my toes.
Don't sound so excited.
So I'm not sure how anybody outside is.
You were at Moorhead last night watching the Roseau Rams and Moorhead battle in Mariucci Conference action. It was Roseau winning by a score of 3-0. And tell us a little bit about that game as the Rams even their record up at 1-1 in the conference, as does Moorhead. They go to 3-3, Moorhead 3-2 overall.
You know, before I start that, what I want to say is, Pete, I missed you. I'm enjoying hearing your voice back on the air here, too. So
feelings mutual.
I'm really going to love the show again. So, all right, now on to Roseau Moorhead. You know, the thing that really impressed me most about this game, it was a 3-0 Roseau win, was, I mean, everybody talks about Roseau, and when they think of Roseau, they think of Alex Strand and Zach Yon and Alex Halsengard and that, you know, that top line from Roseau that's been there forever and can, you know, can really put up some points. But defensively, that was as good as I've ever seen Roseau play defensively last night. And Cole Bukeson was kind of the point man for that. He played, you know, I think they said he played about 40 minutes in that game. Just kind of a man among boys. I mean, he really manhandled the Moorhead forwards, blocked a ton of shots. You know, didn't allow anything Moorhead, you know, in the offensive zone. I mean, he was impressive, and I'm sure Andy Lundbaum is pretty happy to have him back in the fold this year.
Well, many of those minutes were played on the penalty kill as Moorhead was 0-for-7 with the man advantage. That's a big backbreaker for them as they couldn't execute with the extra man. Meanwhile, Roseau 2-for-6. Interestingly enough, you selected Cole Bukeson as one of your post-game interviews. We're listening to him here in a second. And he does have a point on the score sheet. That's testament to all of the things beyond the offensive productivity that sometimes people look to that really contributed to this victory for the Roseau Rams.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned special teams. That was the other key in this game, too. Both teams had, you know, pretty lengthy 5-on-3 man advantages, and Roseau took advantage of theirs, whereas Moorhead was even having trouble getting shots towards Ryan Anderson on their 5-on-3. In fact, their 5-on-3 was part of a, there was a 5-minute major called on Roseau, and then it followed up shortly by a 2-minute minor. So not only was it a 5-on-3, but there was a 5-minute major as part of that, and Moorhead got nothing going.
Wow.
And, you know, two power play goals for Roseau. In fact, the only goal that wasn't a special teams goal was Alex Strand, and it basically was a shorty because he, right at the end of a Roseau penalty, he picked the pocket of a Moorhead defenseman at the blue line and went in on a breakaway just as the penalty ended. So really, it was three special teams goals, one shorty and two power plays for Roseau.
Ryan Anderson in goal for the win for the Roseau Rams. He makes 28 saves for the shutout, and it was Jacob Dittmer in goal for the Moorhead Spuds. He faced 31 shots. Let's listen in to Cole Bukeson with his post-game comments right here on the Overtime Radio Network.
Yeah, you know, we know that Moorhead's always a tough section battle, and, you know, if we take care of our zone, then I think the offense comes after that, and, you know, it was a really solid effort on the road.
And team effort, too. I mean, it looked like everybody, your forwards were really coming back, helping you out on defense, too.
Yep.
And you guys, they weren't getting anything clean at Anderson.
No.
Everything was from all, he was getting a good look at it. You guys were clearing all the rebounds. It was pretty impressive. You know, most people think of Rosa, they think, oh, you know, that top line, a lot of scoring, that kind of stuff.
No one calls each other, just hits.
You take a little extra pride in getting a shutout like this then, too?
Yeah, definitely. You know, before the game, coaches said forwards need to come back harder, and they came back really hard. A lot of good back checks today, and, you know, that helps us a lot. We can have a tighter gap, and, you know, just makes it a lot easier on us.
You all tired? You look like you played about.
Yeah, I had a lot of ice time today. I'm pretty tired after that one, but I mean, it feels great to get that win. I haven't beat Moorhead yet in my high school career, so that feels great.
All right, choice to come back too. You pretty happy with that decision so far?
Oh yeah, I'm extremely happy. There's nothing like playing, you know, high school hockey, and you know, it's the funnest thing there is. And I'm just really happy to be back for my senior year. You know, I'm gonna definitely have these memories for my lifetime.
And the always subtle and laid-back Andy Lundbaum, a little calm once again in this interview, but very happy with the team way his team played. Let's check in with him and his comments after the game.
players, especially Hurt and Weiss. We knew we had to be aware when they were on the ice and come back hard and try to take away passing lanes, and our guys were buying into that part of the game. So, you know, things worked out tonight. Obviously, it's a long season, and we still got a long way to go here, but we're definitely happy to have the win here tonight. And I was really pleased with the amount of effort our boys put in. And I thought, you know, those kills we had in the second, I think that was where our senior leadership really stepped up and really took charge of the game, I thought. It was impressive.
They were telling me upstairs that you guys haven't given up a power play goal all season. So your penalty kill is perfect.
Yeah, so far, you know, and I think it just, I think what we have going on here is we have a lot of guys who've been killing since they were sophomores, and now they're seniors, and so they know the game, they know what we're asking of them, and you know, sometimes it takes that 2 or 3 years before they finally understand what you're trying to get out of them. And then the other side is you keep throwing them out there in those situations, they're going to learn from it. So they've been playing in those situations since they were sophomores, and I was really impressed with those killers. They're just staying in the lanes, and they were doing what they needed to do.
Now, you guys were impressive on the special teams too. You got the two power play goals, and then Strand's goal was essentially shorthanded. I mean, it was right at the end of a PK. Stripped that defenseman at the blue line. So
yeah, you know, that's kind of been these guys. Is, you know, last year we were at that outstanding power play 40%, and you know, we did lose Tanner Olkesson off of it, but obviously Cole back there is doing a pretty darn good job too. And so you know, these guys, they love that man advantage. They keep they want it. They're itching for it, and obviously they have a lot of pride in their kill. So as long as we can win the special teams battle, you can usually end up winning the game.
So I was going to ask you too about how big is it having Cole back there?
Yeah, he, Mike Tripes, I think he played 40 minutes or something. He was just a man out there tonight. That's for sure. Right? I think he blocked about 20 shots, and you know, he just brings so much confidence and poise back at that position, and handles the puck so well. You know, it everything starts from the D position, and you know, he's obviously a pretty darn good player.
Former Moorhead Spud and current head coach John Ammerman not as pleased with his team's performance and wanted to see the compete level raised a little bit after last night's game.
Well, I think they committed to, you know, blocking shots, chipping pucks, being hard on the puck, and they just out-muscled us in critical situations. You know, if you look back at the game, they scored a shorty and they scored two power play goals, and you know, when it gets to be a section game against two rivals and they outman you on the special teams, it's going to be tough to win games.
Yeah, that really was a difference. That Strand one, you know, the shorthanded where he picked his pocket at the blue line, that was kind of a backbreaker at that point.
Well, you know, you don't like to look back at moments in the game, but, you know, when you get into that, and then we had a prolonged 5-on-3 and we don't capitalize, those are opportunities that are missed. And, you know, if you look at certain points in the game, those types of momentum swings are tough to come back from.
So what do you think the guys learn from this and take forward now into the next stretch of games here?
Well, you hope so. You know, talking to some other people, it's good that it's December, because there's tomorrow, and you know, we have a couple different options. We can either sulk or we can learn from it and move on and get better. And I think it's pretty easy to identify where we need to improve. I think you know, our commitment to just grinding out games and being tougher on pucks and our special teams needs to get a lot better. You know, 5-on-5, we were skating with them, and we were creating opportunities. But, you know, games won and lost in the trenches, and they were a heck of a lot better there than us today.
Coming up next for the Moorhead Spuds, it's a game with the Minnetonka Skippers in Moorhead. That'll be on Saturday. And for the Roseau Rams, they will be heading to Grafton Park, River Park, on the 20th. Is it River Park, Tim?
Park River, Grafton Park River up there in North Dakota.
So. Okay. I'm a Minnesota guy, so I think I get a free pass on that one, right?
Yeah. They get a long break, too. That's 10 days between this game and that game up in Grafton. So, you know, I think at this point, Roseau wants to keep playing, don't they? They're playing as well as they are right now.
I think you would, and I think the whole point to Cole Bukeson deciding to come back to play high school hockey is a key factor to this team playing a lot better. Other key games out of the metro area, the one that really stands out, obviously, is the Elk River Elks and the Duluth East Greyhounds, a couple of top 10 teams in our Minnesota Hockey Mag ranking system so far, and Elk River holds serve with a 3-2 win.
Yeah, exactly. You had Elk River ranked above Duluth East, and but you had them right tight together, and that's exactly the way that game played out. That thing was tied into the third period until Jake Jeremko scored with about 4 minutes to go. So, yeah, real tight game, and I think that's what you're going to see in Section 7 all year is you know, obviously these two are kind of the favorites, but Grand Rapids is right there, whom you also have in your top 10. You like Andover. I know you talked about them a little bit, too. They're a team that's going to cause some trouble maybe for those top three. So,
well, the interesting thing about Andover is I like their explosiveness and their ability to score. If they can get their defensive game honed in, it was a 7-6 victory for Elk River. So now they're 2-0 against Section 7 AA opponents. And I think seeding is going to matter, at least to get to Amsoil. When you get to Amsoil, you can toss that out. That's really a home game for Duluth East, no matter who they're playing.
Yeah, and I know we've heard some Elk River fans chirping about the fact that that's section finals in Duluth every year. So maybe if they're the number one seed and they have to go to Duluth to play a two-seed at East, I think you probably that chirping is going to get a lot louder this year.
You know, I'll tell you what, though. To experience Amsoil Arena in a section final, just go get the job done and zip it. You know, the bottom line is you got to beat everybody to get there. You got to win in some different environments. You know, you take the 6-2 AA, suddenly you throw those guys out of the Olympic size sheet, Tim, and it isn't the hockey they play on the. I was going to say real hockey. I'm not a big fan of the Olympic sheet, as we all know. I think to have two of the most important games of those clubs' lives, at least in their perspective, on a different size sheet's tough, but they deal with it, have to deal with it. And if the Elk River Elks are capable, and I think they are, it doesn't matter where that game should be played. I like the way they're looking. By the way, plug in for this one, Tim. Tomorrow night on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket, we're going to have Maple Grove playing host Elk River. Maple Grove, I think, is a much better team than people are wanting to give them credit to.
That's a really interesting game, too. And I am curious to see how Maple Grove responds against a team like Elk River that we know is a top five team in the state at this point. Yeah, I'm curious to see. Let's see what Maple Grove has. If they're going to make a jump into those rankings, that's a good game for them to do so in.
It was Eden Prairie 4 and Bloomington Jefferson 2. The Jags were able to work their way with a 4-0 record into our top 10. They eked into the 10th spot, and you know what? They didn't really hurt themselves in this game. After taking a 1-0 lead into the second period, it was the Bloomington Jefferson or the Eden Prairie Eagles. Riley Argenstinger has been on fire for this team offensively. He scores at 1:46. Then Michael Graham gets a goal to take the 2-1 lead. To take that into the third period, they exchange goals. And finally, it is a Colton Schmidt goal at 10:45 that stands up as the game winner for the Eagles of Eden Prairie. Gerdeson goal for the win is Jake Gerdes picks up 24 save effort, has a 9.23 save percentage for the game. Not bad. Grant Martins, who's a well-discussed elite league-level player, was in goal for the Bloomington Jefferson Jaguars. That is a big reason why that team, along with Johnny Panvika, are going to be a problem for the rest of the year.
Yeah, real nice effort from Jefferson there, too. You know, coming in as a lower-ranked team, but a team that looks like they're on the rise again. A 4-2 loss to Eden Prairie, nothing to be ashamed of there for them.
How about Burnsville destroying Eastview by a score of 6-1 last night? That one was a bit of a surprise. I saw Eastview looking very good this past Saturday. Burnsville putting the puck in the net, though, was effective all night long. Really erupted for three in the third period, which was the difference in that one.
Yeah, that was a shocker. When I saw that score, I did a little double take, too. I was thinking Burnsville would probably be the favorite team in there, but I thought maybe a 2-3-1 game, not a 6-1 game.
Definitely.
When Burnsville is going well, that's what they're going to do. That top line is really going to score some goals for them. And you know, they've kind of been up and down so far, but this is a game that shows what they're capable of when they're firing on all cylinders.
Well, and this is all very early in the season, and you know, like Ken Pauley said after his team lost 7-3 to the Hill-Murray Pioneers, I do a coach's corner on his website at bsmhockey.com if anybody wants to check that out. But, you know, he said losing at this time of the year is a good thing, if there is such a thing, because it gives you an opportunity to grow. Prior Lake beats Lakeville South by a score of 6-3. They continue to win big games like that. But here's a team that's been really impressing me of late. Robbinsdale Armstrong beats Coon Rapids by a score of 3-1. It looks like the Falcons may be turning the corner a little bit here, Tim.
Yeah, that's a program. You know, they've had some past history, some excellent teams in the past, but it's kind of been a down stretch for them. You know, they had that big upset playoff win over Eden Prairie a couple of years back when their goaltender stood on his head. But other than that, you know, we haven't heard a lot from Robinsdale Armstrong. So.
Well, They got crushed.
Some of those programs rise again, yeah.
They got crushed by Maple Grove 10-2 last Saturday. But they picked up a win against Cambridge Isani, Legacy Christian, St. Michael Albertville. Their Minneapolis game was postponed. And then they had a very solid 3-2 win over Andover and now came back with another win over Coon Rapids. 5-1. I don't even know if they had five wins all year last year, Tim.
Yeah, it was a tough year for them, that's for sure. You know, it's fun to see. Like I said, I really enjoy, you know, I mean, it's good to have the superpowers, you know, the teams that everybody likes to root against, laughing at, pointing out Edina on that one. But, yeah, just a team like Armstrong that, you know, experiences ups and downs, it's kind of fun to see a program like that when it's on an upswing.
Indeed. How about this? The Breck Mustangs need overtime to beat the Holy Angels Stars by a score of 7-6. 56 shots on goal for Breck to 31 against for the Holy Angels Stars. Tim, you still there? I think I might have lost you.
Yeah, no, we cut out for a minute. I think I lost you on that Armstrong comment. But, yeah, you're back. You're back. We're talking single A top 10 games now.
Yeah, maybe I cut you off. No, I'm just kidding. But Breck, though, comes up. Holy Angels has been very interesting. They've been letting some pucks in the net. They've been getting some pucks through, giving up a lot of shots. But the goaltending's still been pretty stout, seeing 45 to 55 shots a game. Yet they're coming up with the tie against St. Thomas Academy. This one goes to overtime. If Holy Angels is in the NHL, they're not. They'd get the extra point, but they didn't get it. Breck picks up the overtime winner as they score 14 seconds in as Michael Orkey scores from Chase Ellingson.
Yeah, a little fire wagon hockey for Holy Angels this year, you think? Sometimes those games are fun to watch, although it makes the coaches tear their hair out, I'm sure.
New coach Trent Palm getting the job done. Let's take a look at East Grand Forks, Tim. The number one team in the Class A poll beats Crookston by a score of 4-1. Do you think this is a team that's just going to plug along and just chug along, or are they going to have these 4-1 type games like this?
You know, at this point, with the schedule that they're playing, I think you're going to see a lot of low-scoring games from them. You know, they'll put up a few goals on some of the lesser teams on their schedule, but when they get into the real meat of it here coming up this week, you know, you're going to see a lot of games like this. They've only given up 2 goals in 5 games. You know, that defensive core, I think I've talked about them before, it could be as good as any in the state at any level, double-A or single-A. You know, they've got everybody back, all 6 of their top 6 guys from last year's state tournament team. And teams are just going to find it really tough to get through there. They've got size, you know, they've got the Eddie Eads, you know, the size and the toughness back there. But then they've got some real freewheeling, puck-moving kind of defensemen, too. You know, so it's a good mix of guys back there on that blue line, and they're going to be really tough to score against this year.
Well, you want to talk about teeth of their schedule. They've got the Blaine Bengals Friday night in Blaine. Can't wait to check that one out. East Grand Forks then will be at Breck on Saturday. They play host to Bemidji Tuesday of next week, and then it's War Road. So they've got 4 very difficult games coming up. They're going to earn their wares with these tilts. They are currently 5-0 on the season. We'll see if they can contain that. Tim, we're running out of time here. Any closing comments?
Yeah, you know, we talked in our top 10 stories. I'm going to go single A here for a minute. We talked about how fluid the 5 through 10 spots were last week. We might drop that down to 4 through 10 as Bemidji beat Warroad last night and Matamidi beat number 5 Totino Grace. So a lot of turnover in single A past those top 3 teams.
And I think we're fair to say we're going to see a lot of that this year. Everybody likes to see who's the one to go through, who's the team to beat. But at this point, yes, we've anointed Blaine as the number one in the AA. We've anointed East Grand Forks. They're kind of the kings of the hill. And we'll see if they'll be able to maintain that. By the way, those came out here first, if anybody wants to know. We didn't jump on any bandwagon. I said that in my top 10 for Blaine. But I think the belief was that they had the deepest talent pool, and I do know that we agree the same with East Grand Forks. By the way, Minnetonka fell to St. Thomas Academy by a score of 4-1 last night. Needed to get that one out there as the Cadets, ranked number 3 in the AA poll, continue to impress as they're plugging along in the 2A.
I love it, Pete. We are first, and the other thing about our rankings that I want to talk about, too, is that we don't just rank the teams. We give you a little background on why we think they're there. You know, we talk about what they've done and what they have coming up and why we think they should be in that spot. So.
Absolutely. We're going to keep it going. Tim, we'll be back at this on Friday. Don't forget to check out right here on the Minnesota Hockey Mag.com or Minnesota Hockey Magazine radio show. will be on the air from the XL Energy Center, the AT&T Ice Lodge, along with Kevin Faulness in production. Tim will be joining me there for a segment. We're going to have Josh Fenton, the commissioner of the NCHC in the collegiate ranks, joining us. We'll talk about his conference and how things are going there. We're going to hear from John Russo from the Upper Midwest High School Elite League, and we'll also hear from Dave Schwartz, our contributor, the Care 11 Weekend sports anchor and good friend of the program. Tim, take care. It's been a pleasure.
Love it, Pete. I love that we're back.
I do, too. So long, everybody.